Who are the best picks you could make in fantasy this year? Who were the worst picks, the ones that took your team down with them in fantasy this season? And finally, which type of wide receiver should you be targeting going forward? All that and more as Dalton and I uncork some of the internal data here at Yahoo Fantasy on a very special Week 18 Stat Nerd Thursday. Let's get into it. It's Thursday, January 4th. I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Show. It is a hell of a day to talk ball, and joining me to do just that is Dalton Del Don. Dalton, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, Harmon? I appreciate you and producer Colin for rearranging your schedules to fit me later than we normally record. Today, I was doing some traveling, and also, I just found out, have a personal trainer, and you're hurting now, too. So I really appreciate you fighting through this podcast. Sorry, I didn't know if you wanted to be revealed.
Oh, no, yeah. No. Yeah, I decided to hire myself a personal trainer to really get shredded up this year. Just a little extra motivation. And yeah, I got my ass handed to me this morning. So I got what I paid for. It was one of those situations. People, if you like work out hard, you know this. Sometimes like it doesn't catch up to you until later in the day. So I was like, yeah, Dalton, you push this back. Give me 15 more minutes right before this show, because I had to do some rehydrating. Hey, I do carry the jug with me at all times, but still other times you need a little extra help as well. So yeah, man. I appreciate you, Dalton. I also appreciate what this show is going to be today, buddy, because it is the final regular season edition of Stat Nerd Thursday. But Dalton and the people, we're doing this a little bit differently. We're not going to give you one stat you need to know for all 32 teams. And Dalton, I felt good about deciding to do the show this way, but you know, week 18, man, like, have you seen the list of quarterbacks that are going to play in week 18? I'm just going to read it off actually right now. Didn't plan to do this, but this is just a great example of why switching this up. You don't need one stat for all 32 teams heading into week 18. When some of the quarterbacks that are going to start this week, Tyler Huntley, no disrespect to the Pro Bowler, Tyler Huntley, Sam Darnold, Blaine Gabbert, Jeff Driscoll, Carson Wentz. And then we just get to like the regular goofy quarterbacks we've had starting for multiple games now. Nick Mullins, Easton Stick, Trevor Siemian. I mean, damn, Mason Rudolph is like the hero of Pittsburgh now at this point. So if ever there was a time to veer from our normal format, Dalton, this is it.
Oh, I'm relieved when I saw the format, because it's also just a fool's errand trying to predict who's going to play this weekend and who's not. I mean, I thought the Rams cared about 6th or 7th seed. I guess I was wrong about that. So, yes, let's get to this format and look back on the year and not try to predict what in the world's going to happen in week 18. There's a reason that Fantasy Championship was played last week.
Exactly right. So with all that said, we're obviously going to continue to pepper you with stats you need to know throughout the playoffs, specifically ones that can help you DFS prop bets when we do the preview episodes. Next week, we just, as a programming note, we're dropping a pod on Mondays and Thursdays. So the Thursday pods are going to kind of be a hybrid of Stat Nerd and the Viewer's Guide episodes. But for this particular episode, on the final Stat Nerd Thursday, we're going to actually dive into the stats that tell you the story of the 2023 fantasy football season using our internal data here at Yahoo Fantasy. With millions of participants, we worked with our data team. Producer Colin, also speaking of, you know, working his ass off, producer Colin worked his ass off to get this outline ready. We all compiled the most telling data that illustrates how this season went. Who were the true league winners? Who were the waiver wire pickups of the year? Who outkicked their draft rankings the most and who did the opposite? Which draft position and strategy were the best in 2023? We're going to find that out today, Dalton. Let's get into it, and let's start on a positive note here. The top 14 players on the most championship teams, the legit league winners, right? We talk about, oh, this backup running back is a league winner. No, the real league winners this year. Number one, CMC, 23.5%. Puka Nacua, 18.8%. Kyron Williams, 18.8%. Beautiful that overlaps there. Number four, Josh Allen, 16.6%. Mike Evans, 15.9%. Brandon Aubrey, 15.5%. Jalen Hurts, 15.4%. Breece Hall, 15.3%. Brown's defense, the only defense represented, comes in at number 9. Number 10, CeeDee Lamb, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jahmyr Gibbs, Rashad White, Tyreek Hill. Those are your top 14 highest percentage of championship teams here. So, Dalton, I throw that list out to you. Where do you want to start in terms of the takeaways from it?
There's a decent debate for who's the fantasy MVP this year. CMC has a strong argument, scoring more than 100 points more than the second most score among running backs. Puka Nacua, you know, a waiver wire ad in most leagues, beast. Kyren Williams, though, he gets my vote given his ADP, given the fact that was number 4 overall fantasy scorer among running backs, but also missed 4 games. And in the fantasy playoffs, he finished 6th, 8th, and 1st in the fantasy championship when my guy CMC left injured. So, I mean, I know this is a silly debate, but if my vote would be Kyren Williams for this year's fantasy MVP. Again, an ADP afterthought and just a beast week in and week out. Just a total workhorse. Top 4 overall while missing 4 games and free at draft tables.
Dude, it's crazy. And the funny part about the Kyren Williams thing is it was actually pretty easy to see coming if you really dove into the Rams, right? Because with Kyren Williams, not easy to see this coming, but to see him as like a guy that was going to be valuable in that backfield. But we do this so quickly with young running backs, especially. It's just always like on to the next one, right? Like people forget that Kyren Williams was going to run out as the Rams RB2 behind Daryl Henderson ahead of Cam Akers in the 2022 season. But then he got injured on a special teams play. Ankle injury, was out for a long time. He did come back and he had a couple moments. Like I remember talking about this on Chris Harris's podcast. I'm like, I like a little bit what we're seeing from this guy. But then they draft Zach Evans. You know how it always is. It's always the new rookie, right? And remember Zach Evans, when all these guys went down, like he didn't even get a shot to play at all on this team. So again, I'm not saying like, oh, it was easy to see Kyren Williams becoming one of the best players in fantasy, but seeing that he was the clear cut RB2 behind Cam Akers, there were some breadcrumbs there.
Yeah. And I want to back you up on this. I certainly didn't see Kyren being so good on the field and totally taking over this role, but I was screaming it in articles, and believe me, I get plenty wrong and I will talk about that later. But throughout August, all the Rams beat writers were saying Kyren's the real deal. He's at least at minimum going to play passing downs. And Akers' ECR, his expert consensus rank, just stayed the same the whole time. And he was drafted like, you know, at the end of last year, he was a total bell cow, and I get it. But if you were really into the weeds and paying attention to the beat writers, the warning signs were saying Kyren's going to be a big part of this offense. Now, no one thought it'd just completely take over, but it was, as you said, wasn't a complete shock to those paying super close attention to this situation.
I have one galaxy brain theory about this. And because even I remember like Jordan Rodrigue, who does a great job covering the Rams for The Athletic, she put out an article, I think maybe around like week 4 or 5, about how Puka Nacua had actually been joining Matt Stafford and Cooper Kupp at the breakfast table and that whole thing. And people were like, what, where was this reporting all summer or whatever? I have a feeling that I don't know if this to be true. Okay. And I'm friends with Jordan. I could actually ask this, but I didn't think to ask this until right now, as I'm just recklessly speculating on the air. Remember how disastrous the like Allen Robinson training camp reports were from 2022. Mm-hmm. I feel like as a fantasy community, we were like, let's not believe anything that the Rams are saying. So there was no like real dive into this, like what was going on with the Rams this year, and people were leaving the Rams for dead and not thinking that they could be this team that they clearly have been now, where they're, you know, playing damn Carson Wentz and resting starters this year. So I feel like there was a general like, let's not pay any attention, and then because that lack of interest, the stories weren't out there, right? I mean, although Jordan did a great job not calling out like all Rams reporters reporting just like how energized Sean McVay was, but these stuff about like the nuggets about Puka, the nuggets about Kyren Williams, I think as a fantasy community, we were like, yeah, we're not buying what the Rams are selling after that whole Allen Robinson thing.
Yeah, I make fun of people for not paying attention to the Kyren Williams reports, but I wasn't on the Puka one. I should have been. Maybe I missed the breakfast report, but when it was too late, I know that situation was perfect. Like an Atwell, someone was going to step up without, you know, with Kupp dealing with that injury. But yeah, Puka was the clear guy. And the fact, not these guys are just, you know, entering great situations. There was a stat a couple weeks ago, the Rams were first in fantasy usage at wide receiver and at running back, but also they're just so good, as you can attest to watching Nacua out there running routes and Kyren breaking tackles. Their pedigree may not suggest it, but they look like actual stars, both also in awesome situations.
Yeah, and on the Kyren Williams thing too, one thing I think is a good takeaway from this, beyond just like, hey, let's always follow these breadcrumbs, never discount like a good coach's ability to change his offense. Because if you look at, I mean, remember the 2017 Rams and with Todd Gurley, and I mean, really just most of the McVay era, it's all been outside zone, like zone concept running schemes. This year, Dalton, no team has a higher percentage of their runs, according to Fantasy Points data, coming on man and gap rush attempts, 54.9%. And like, again, this is really in the weeds stuff, but it really does matter. Like, Kyren Williams back at Notre Dame was a pure man gap scheme runner. And like, he could, if you blow those holes open, like, he's a smart guy with good vision and reads things out well, he's going to hit the right hole. He just isn't like that exciting athletically or anything like that. Like, his combine stuff is not impressive. We talked about that with Eckler at some point this year. So, and why that doesn't really matter at the running back position as much as we think. So anyways, all that to say is that was another way that it was easy to miss Kyren Williams. Cause like, I see the best, even the best scheme fit for this, you know, this team. No, maybe you would say that, but clearly they've changed their entire offense around.
And I'm pretty sure the Rams are first in EPA per play with all four of those guys on the field this season, which is wild and makes them dangerous in the playoffs.
Yes. Note, by the way, just more man gap stuff. No team has a higher percentage of their runs, 54.9% on man gap scheme runs. They have a 55% success rate, do the Los Angeles Rams, which trails only the Buffalo Bills on man gap scheme runs. So pretty interesting. And 10 touchdowns, which is behind the Ravens. I mean, 22%, that's pretty crazy. The Browns, the Lions, and the Dolphins. So interesting stuff there just on the Kyren Williams stuff. I want to kind of highlight, speaking of the Bills, the Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts percentage here. 16.6% of fantasy championship teams had Josh Allen, 15.4% for Jalen Hurts. So, Dalton, what do we take away from that from like an overall quarterback standpoint?
I think the takeaway is you can win either way. Apparently, Allen and Hurts paid the bills. Man, the Hurts just benefited so much from those 1 yard touchdowns because the passing attack definitely dropped back without Steichen. But obviously, you could have won with Purdy or going to Tua late too. Mm-hmm. So I think either strategy would have worked here. But it was actually illuminating to me that they were able to provide, you know, still teams were winning with drafting, you know, giving up whatever the I guess most of the opportunity costs were these bust second round wide receivers. So it conveniently worked that way. When you were drafting Allen or Hurts, others were drafting guys that are going to be in the bust column. So yeah, I could see it working either way. You draft one of those guys in round two, or you wait until round 9 and 10 and you draft a Tua, and that worked just fine too.
That's such a good point about the opportunity cost. Because yeah, if you look back at consensus ADP, the resource I'm looking at from 4 for 4, you've got, just in terms of quarterbacks, these guys were like, Josh Allen has an ADP in the late second round. Jalen Hurts has an ADP 2.08 late second round. And yeah, the guys going around him, like
Devonta Smith,
Cooper Kupp, Josh Jacobs, whatever, but like Jalen Waddle, Chris Olave, Devonta Smith. Yeah. I mean, that is all right in that same ballpark. So it's just another, and that's a funny thing, because like the late round quarterback theory, which I know JJ Zacharyson is kind of like not disavowed late round quarterback, but like said that it's not the same as it was when he published the ebook right way back in the day. It was all about the opportunity cost, that like when you take an early quarterback, you're passing up a potential blue chip running back wide receiver. The best thing to do in that range was to bypass any of those wide receivers and just take a quarterback.
Yeah, there was also T. Higgins was there. Calvin Ridley was getting steamed up.
Yep.
Yep, absolutely.
Higgins ADP 3.03 and Calvin Ridley ADP 3.04.
And then the other thought I've had is, in super flex leagues, I'm just going to be willing to wait on quarterback more. Maybe this was an outlier, but how many quarterbacks even lasted this season upright? I mean, a dozen of them. It's just so many guys popping up. I mean, again, it might be, I know Flacco is just too good to be true at the end of the year, but seemingly every week there's some backup starting that week that produces, you know, top 18 fantasy QB stats that week. So it feels like more of a Wild West with that position. And in super flex leagues, it causes more chaos.
Yeah. I go back and forth on the super flex. Like, I think that you can, just my personal opinion, I like to lock in like one really strong quarterback, and then I think you can kind of punt with that second spot and try to hit a Baker Mayfield, try to hit a CJ Stroud, and just be ready to pounce on the waiver wire. Now, I will say, I do think from an, but we kind of saw this at the end of last year where there was a record amount of quarterbacks, right? I'm wondering if it, you know, maybe there's a trend there. I'm not 100% sure. I'm guessing in real time, just like we all are. I will say though, and this is just simply nothing but like personal anecdote, in the league that we're in together, which is a super flex league, I did make it to the semifinals, didn't make it to the championship, made it to the semifinals, lost eventually, I think, because I kind of ran out of quarterbacks. So I lost Michael Pittman and Jaden Reed. It was a shame. But I took like McCaffrey and then Travis Kelce, which actually wasn't that great of a pick, which we'll talk about later. Like I kind of waited on quarterback and I had Kirk Cousins, which was great for a while. And then I had CJ Stroud, which was great for a while. But then when those guys got hurt, the depth was pretty brutal. So I don't know.
Personally. Yeah, quarterback's going to be a tricky one for next year. What to attack? I think it's going to be more of the same. You know, you can win either way here, but it's going to be similar, right? I mean, Allen and Hurts are probably going to go in that area, and there's going to be guys like, I'm so curious where Anthony Richardson's ADP going to be, but I think it's going to be a similar type style going into 2024 drafts with quarterbacks that you can go either route.
Okay, so one last thing for me. I don't know if anything else stands out. If you want to take a victory lap on Breece Hall, I'm cool with that. But Rashad White, 13th tier, 14.5% of championship teams had Rashad White on it, which if you look back at Rashad White's ADP, man, running back 26, he was going after the likes of Miles Sanders, who we'll talk about later, J.K. Dobbins, James Cook, Cam Akers, James Conner, Javonte Williams. I mean, there were some really, I mean, Damian Pierce went way ahead of Rashad White. Like, Rashad White is the king of the running back dead zone this year. What lessons can we take away from how his season didn't just turn out to be like, oh, he survived the running back dead zone? He actually ended up being one of the most profitable picks at running back this year.
Yeah, here's one I got very wrong, overrated the lack of efficiency. He was just not good as a runner last year, but underestimated the role. And he got better as a player, too, it seemingly. And Baker Mayfield, I didn't expect to be so good. And yeah, just the targets, the goal line. And there's maybe I underrated just how lack of competition. The coaches were even saying it before the season. I don't know. You could either have read it that he thought his whole backfield was a problem, or yeah, White is the only guy that's going to get the touches, and it was the latter. So yeah, there was just no competition there. So he fought through the times when he was struggling, and he kind of started breaking more tackles and evolved as a player. And now he looks like just, I mean, he was one of the safest running backs week in and week out, just locked in as a top five fantasy back, and very impressive, great draft pick. And I was just flat out wrong on White.
Of those, again, this running back dead zone, because I know this will be a talking point again, I'm saying that let's just call it running back 19 to running back 30. Again, I'll read off the names here. Alexander Mattison, Miles Sanders, J.K. Dobbins, James Cook, Cam Akers, James Conner, Javonte Williams, Rashad White, Alvin Kamara, David Montgomery, and Isaiah Pacheco. Let's put aside the David Montgomery thing for a second, because, I mean, that was just kind of dumb that he was going that late, regardless. The three names that stand out to me that ended up being really big hits from the quote dead zone, it's Rashad White, it's James Cook, and it's Isaiah Pacheco, who respectively are running back in end of season scoring right now. Number 5, Rashad White. Number 10, James Cook. And number 13, Isaiah Pacheco. These are all second year backs. Like, I think if you're trying to pluck running backs from this range, I still think it makes all the sense in the world to avoid the Madisons, the Sanders, the Akers, the who else is there, you know, this veteran running back. Although James Conner gave you some good moments this year when he was healthy. But like, if you're trying to pluck a running back from this range, I do think, like, if you can tell yourself a story, hey, this second year running back is going to take a leap, those guys can end up being profitable picks.
Yep. Age is important. And also it's just something to think about when these career backups like Madison, how are they going to handle 300 touches? You know, don't overrate their efficiency and limited work. And yeah, pointing out their age here in this dead zone, those seems to be the common thing among the hits. But I'd also add my guy J.K. Dobbins was going to smash if he stayed healthy there too, man.
Yeah, absolutely. He was gonna. I just said that the damn Ravens had 22 touchdowns on man gap scheme runs. I mean, he was going to go absolutely ballistic this year for sure. All right, let's move on to the 10 most added players this season on the waiver wire in Yahoo leagues. number one, Puka Nacua, obviously. Kyren Williams, Brandon Aubrey, Jerome Ford, Zach Moss, Trey McBride, the Browns defense, CJ Stroud, Gus Edwards, and Chuba Hubbard. I'm not sure where you want to take this list, Dalton, but I will just say shout out to Brandon Aubrey and Browns defense for being on two of the quote like league winner rankings here. Pretty incredible stuff if you added either of those, players, quote unquote, with the Browns being a defense.
No doubt. I might add, I have a Dobbins and Anthony Richardson in that aforementioned league we played together. So that was a brutal injury one. Zach Moss was fantastic for a stretch. Trey McBride. Yeah, I don't know what we can really make of it other than these are just the heroes on the waiver wire. The Browns is, did you keep them originally when you picked them up? The defense was especially dominant at home, but putting up to make an impact to be a defense and a kicker to make this list really shows they must have made a major impact. My 49ers spending a third round pick on a kicker. Cowboys just getting a guy right off the street and he can't even miss. Aubrey just cannot miss, unconscious. What a season. Rookie of the year down ballot votes. Or is he not technically? I forget the technicality with him. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But I don't have much to add here other than well done if you added these guys. And there's some real difference makers this year. There's a couple years where running backs, you go a whole year and there's no, major difference maker for long stretches. And Zach Moss was a top five back, for multiple weeks. And obviously we talked enough about the Rams guys. So it was a pretty good year for the waiver wire.
Even Jerome Ford ended up as running back 15, man. Like, and there was a lot of consternation about, Kareem Hunt, the whole thing. And Kareem Hunt had his role, but ended up being a pretty solid pick, mostly because of his receiving work. 42 catches, 293 yards, and 5 touchdowns for Jerome Ford as a receiver. And, of course, he, just like everybody else, got unlocked when our buddy Joe Flacco took over as the starting quarterback. All right.
Imagine players, Nick Chubb in the Flacco offense. Oh, man, he would have gone crazy.
What are the Browns going to do?
Can they get out of the Watson thing? I haven't really looked at that much.
No, they can't.
Right?
They can't.
Nothing they can do.
It would obliterate their cap. But Joe Flacco's so perfect for this offense too. And you're right. Like the way that he's used play action on 32% of his dropbacks since he's been starting, which is the most in the league. Like he's been super effective on play action. The way he's so good at the play action, fakes and he's just, he's just such a veteran, right? And I think obviously they're just going to end up going back to Watson. It's almost kind of depressing to think about, but imagine, and Nick Chubb has a long way to come back from a pretty serious injury, but you're right, man. Imagine Joe Flacco's play action efficiency with Nick Chubb in the backfield, man. Pretty spicy.
And that defense. Yeah. Good team.
Yeah. They could win that talk. Remember when, speaking of canceled, remember when John Gruden was like, I want to turn the game back to 1996 or whatever. They could actually turn the game back to 1996 and probably win a Super Bowl. All right. Players on the most first place teams in the regular season in Yahoo leagues. Number one, CMC. Number two, Raheem Mostert. Notice he was not on the top 14 title teams list because he missed that game, obviously, in week 17. Shout out to, raise your hand and shout out and back pat yourself if you won a championship with Raheem Mostert. Regardless, shout out to me. Kyren Williams, Josh Allen, and Alvin Kamara also was not a repeat in the top 14 teams because he also had an injury in week 17. So I just want to focus on Raheem Mostert here. Dalton, what lessons can we take from Raheem Mostert's season?
Just that system was so there for the taking. I hyped up Tua to you like crazy. I bet on him to win the most passing yards, but it's McDaniel coming from the Shanahan rushing system, and I just totally overrated his age. I believe he's only the fourth player ever over 30 to score 20 touchdowns, and he could never stay healthy his whole career, even in his prime, but there wasn't a big workload. His career high he set last year with 180 carries, so I just didn't see the chance, and Achan's there, and there's other bodies there, but so I don't know what the takeaway is other than you should look at systems, and there it was there. There was no obvious running back there. Mostert is really good when he's on the field, and they like him. And so, yeah, my takeaway is I was dumb to be an ageist there. I like my young guys, and that was my problem there. I had him above ECR, but boy, I don't have a lot of Mostert on my fantasy teams, unfortunately. And he was awesome. And Achan next year is the wild card in 2024 fantasy drafts without question. I saw in your Fantasy Football Live, you went in the top 10. Other drafts he might not go in the fourth round. I could see both. It's the widest range of outcomes of any player.
Love that call. I agree. He's going to be like a really difficult player to rank. And yeah, I could see the summer, like the summer blurbs being crazy on him for sure. But yeah, just like hindsighting the Raheem Mostert thing. And I did actually, like, I ended up with a lot of Raheem Mostert. So to me, it was, I mean, dude, you look at some of the, here are four names that were ahead, like just ahead of Raheem Mostert, because these guys were ninth round picks and Raheem Mostert in consensus ADP was the fourth pick of the 10th round. The four names ahead of him: Antonio Gibson, Jamal Williams, Zach Charbonnet, and Samaje Perine. I mean, woof. I also draft. I'm not that smart. I drafted a decent bit of Jamal Williams too. So don't take anything I say seriously. But there actually, to me, just wasn't that big of a difference between the outlooks of guys like the Cam Akers or the, you know, the James Conners as there was Raheem Mostert, especially once Jeff Wilson got banged up.
Absolutely. Mostert must start. What a beast. Before we move past this section, I just want to say Kamara, it's worth noting when you go back and just remembering that if it just takes a little patience, you know, I know myself, I shied off that 3-game suspension, you know, also age and Kendre Miller, of course, again, my ageism, but you know, just three, you can get through those 3 games and here you have a top back helping you. So like, that's something to remember there. It's a little patience.
Yeah, that was a tough situation to read because they made so many moves at the running back position, whether it was Kendre Miller or whether it was Jamal Williams. And Kamara was coming off a down season too, but he was super helpful to that offense this year. All right, these are the players who severely outkicked their preseason Yahoo ranking. We'll go by position on this one, starting with quarterbacks. General note, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, like those are the guys at the top. Actually kind of a big gap then between Lamar and Dak. Like Mahomes was QB7. He was sandwiched between Brock Purdy and Jared Goff. Safe to say, you kind of, if the early quarterbacks, like Lamar ended up being good by the end of the season, but there was a gap between Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts. Lamar ended up being QB3. Really kind of only got the big ROI on Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen. Although again, I think Lamar, there's a difference there, but yeah, Dak obviously again was QB4. He was pretty clutch, but the quarterbacks that outkicked their coverage the most this year, Baker Mayfield, preseason Yahoo ranking, he outkicked it by 239 spots. Jordan Love, 143 spots. Brock Purdy, 117 spots. Jared Goff, 104 spots. And then Dak Prescott, 98 spots. Ranking was 103. He finished as the QB5.
All right, here are the quarterback sessions. So I have one final thought on Brock Purdy MVP here. Then we can get back to we can get back to our regularly scheduled program. All right, so in Major League Baseball, it's a series of one-on-one events, and that's when I always would vote for the best player at the end of the year with the best stats. I don't try to twist the word valuable. It's tougher to do that in football, man. There are 22 players involved in every single play, and I am not here to argue that Purdy is better at football player than Lamar Jackson. But I will say his 2023 season will go down as the biggest outlier not to win the MVP award. I mean, he had the best statistical season in 2023 objectively. I mean, producing points, yards, stats are the way we record what happened on the field. And Purdy had the highest YPA ever in the modern era, minimum 350 pass attempts. 7% of his passes went for touchdowns. Patrick Mahomes' career rate is 6.1. Purdy had the second most passing yards this year, the 20th most pass attempts. And now he's a long shot to win the MVP because of the timing of his worst game of the season. He's getting punished for his teammates while ignoring a bottom five offensive line. Lamar Jackson has the NFL's best defense and special teams. He's not really discredited for that. Did you see what Tyler Huntley did last week, by the way, Harmon? Pro bowler Tyler Huntley? By the way, Purdy, see what Purdy did last week without CMC on the field. Imagine that. Anyway, Kurt Warner comes out of nowhere, wins 2 MVPs in 3 years in the best situation in the world indoors with all these Hall of Famers around him. The fact that this award is ostensibly over, according to the market right now, is a Travis Sham mockery.
All right. I don't know, man. I think it's a too much of a stats-based conversation, honestly. I think we're taking back the, and look, this is a Stat Nerd Thursday. I think we're taking back the MVP from the nerds, Dalton. That's what we're doing.
All right. Well, yeah. All right. Well, that's all I have to say. I get it. It's Lamar's award now. It's over. He won the game later in the year, head to head. But I mean, I don't know what that's. The stats are all your. I mean, that the stats are just a reflection of what happened on the field. I'm not even throwing EPA at you here. I'm just saying, you know, guy dropped back. Yeah. He produced by far the most yards and touchdowns of anyone in a historical season. You're going to look back in a decade, and people are going to be like, you know, it's going to look like a weird outlier.
It is going to look like a weird outlier from a statistical perspective. I'll say this, though. Like, Brock Purdy's a second-year player. He's got plenty of time to win some more MVPs, man. I mean, like, here's the deal. They're going to start losing players. That's what's going to happen. Eventually, Kittle's going to age out. Eventually, CMC's going to age out. Eventually, Debo or Ayuk, they're going to have to probably make a decision between one of those two guys. Then maybe Purdy can
win. Maybe they'll give him credit if they lose some of their teammates. Yeah. Believe me, if there's anyone who understands the credit is deserved for the system he's in, it's the dude who paid too much money for a Trey Lance painting before he stepped on the field. Like, I get it. The situation's awesome. That was my theory about all this and drafting him high in fantasy. You're in the Shanahan system with all these weapons. So I understand he's in a good situation. I also think Lamar Jackson's in a pretty good situation in the stats. Purdy's are just in a different level, but it is what it is.
It is what it is indeed. Anything else here on any of these other quarterbacks?
Oh, there's other quarterbacks in the league.
There were other quarterbacks. Even on this very list.
What a wild year Jordan Love had on fire the first 2 weeks of the year. Then it looks like, oh man, boy, they really are missing the Aaron Rodgers era. And now they're like a dangerous team entering possibly in the playoffs. He's putting up a ton of fantasy points without his receivers. It doesn't matter who's injured week in and week out. So Jordan Love, I know you hyped him up pretty good on the last pod with Barron's. Jordan Love's been a revelation this season. That would be my other takeaway among these quarterbacks. I mean, Baker Mayfield, we've given up props for Andy Barron's already.
Yeah, we definitely don't need to say anything nicer about Andy Barron's. He's 12th right now in adjusted yards per attempt with Jordan Love there. I mean, he's just been so good. Touchdown percentage, 5.5%. That's fifth in the NFL. It's funny too, because like typically when you have one of these crazy touchdown seasons and, you know, we're worried about regression, right? Touchdown rate, stuff like that. It is because a teammate or a set of teammates kind of went nuclear, right? That's not the case, for Jordan Love here. I mean, his teammates were good around him, but man, it's pretty wild that Jordan Love has been this good. And like these receivers are all so young, and I think all these receivers are good to varying degrees. So, man, I really think he is going to be a fascinating guy to talk about next year when we're looking at drafts.
Number five fantasy QB. Really, I mean, the production was there too. I mean, really impressive year. Playing outdoors, I mean, in that weather with all those injuries. And I mean, Aaron Jones is one of the running backs that really does matter for an offense. I mean, when your replacement's A.J. Dillon. So, yeah, learning like that, Love, it looked like it really worked for the strategy of waiting and learning.
Yeah, and he can run like just enough. 47 carries, 248 yards, 4 touchdowns, Jordan Love. So that's kind of in that Justin Herbert range when Justin Herbert was at his best as a fantasy quarterback. I mean, he had a great year this year, actually. But his second season, when he threw for 5,000 yards, he also added a little bit of rushing seasoning on top. I think that's kind of what we're hoping for Jordan Love going forward. All right. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I had to say, producer Collins, you have me if CMC doesn't exist for Purdy. I said, did you see the last 20 minutes last week? CMC was off the field. Purdy was moving that offense.
Nothing happens against the Commanders.
Nothing happens against
the Commanders. Going to be taken seriously. But I will give Brock Purdy a ton of props for the improv, like the improv point
looking
touchdown.
Like, looking like a young Ayuk, Romo out there. Come on, Colin. You can see him out there. But before we move on to quarterback, so props to Dak Prescott. It was in the MVP conversation until a minute ago. Great year. Yes, he benefits from at home. But that offense run in motion now. And, you know, we're so worried about Kellen Moore. And Dak Prescott, all the interceptions last year. Fantastic year, man. Dak, total props. And he went late in drafts. I say Tua. Why am I not saying Dak? Dak scored way more fantasy points and went just as late, if not later.
He went much later. You know, he was a guy that was kind of almost like, yeah, QB 11. Like, yeah, he went after Tua. He was an eighth round pick that really nobody was like that excited to take. He's like, Dak, whatever. Like back half QB 1. He ended up being a great fantasy pick this year. All right, let's move to the wide receiver section here. The guys who most outkicked their default ranking on Yahoo this year. Tank Dell, plus 130. Adam Thielen, plus 113. Rashee Rice, plus 83. Nico Collins, shout out, plus 59. Jaden Reed, also shout out, plus 59. DJ Moore, 37. Mike Evans, 32, Michael Pittman, 18, and Puka Nacua didn't have a ranking. So he really outkicked it. Kind of an honorable mention here. He ended up being a top seven wide receiver in fantasy this year. So who from this list stands out? Obviously, we've got four rookies if you count Puka Nacua. You got Tank Dell, Rashee Rice, Jaden Reed, and like I mentioned, Puka Nacua.
No fun to victory lap Mike Evans. It's far more fun to say how wrong I was about DJ Moore, and I'm going to be punished in my rankings big time for that. He was even better than this looks. He was I'm pretty sure he was the number two fantasy wideout behind only Tyreek Hill when Justin Fields was on the field with him. Certainly, if it doesn't look like that at the end of the year, don't forget that he injured his ankle the first drive of 2 weeks ago and was a decoy the rest of that game too. And he was healthy again last week, like he said, and he balled out. So he obviously depends on what happens at quarterback in Chicago next year. But if Fields returns, there's like 10 guys I want to rank top five next year. But DJ Moore will be one of them. Rashee Rice is another one. I think he's right there top 10-ish entering next year. A wide receiver as the number one guy on Patrick Mahomes. Tell me if you think I'm overrating there. And then my final thought here is Tank Dell versus Nico Collins is going to be a fun debate next year. I wrote about that. And then I realized later that Collins is a free agent. So it might not necessarily be a Texans debate between those two.
This is only his third year.
Maybe his fifth. Okay. So is his option due next? Is that what it is?
No, because it was a third round pick. He's just going into a contract year.
Scratch that. Nico Collins versus Tank Dell next year.
Yeah, I mean, look, the fact that Collins is healthy right now and Tank Dell's coming back from a major injury will just push me to Nico Collins kind of by default.
Okay, yeah, but it's a fit. You should probably be 100% for that, but that's fair. We'll get to Tony Pollard later. But I think that's going to be a fun one. Both those guys look like stars, and obviously C.J. Stroud. And then Rice, is that too bullish? Top 10 as a fan? I mean, there's so many good receivers.
I don't know,
man. You think that is too high? All right, okay. I think he's going to be top 12. I really do.
I think it's going to be tough just because
I was easily making him top 12 the last 3 weeks of this year. Easily.
Right. I don't want to put limitations on him. I just think that they're going to have other guys step up this year, like next season too, because they've still been a very inconsistent offense while funneling him targets. I think if we really want to see like a full breakout from him, they've got to beef up the other receiver spots. And when they beef up with the other receiver spots, is that going to take away targets, but it might add like some potential touchdowns on top of him. I mean, the fact that Patrick Mahomes is having this season with Rashee Rice, and he's having by far like his worst season, like from a touchdown rate, from a yards per attempt, all that stuff, can actually probably be encouraging for Rashee Rice that he's not going to have that type of touchdown rate like going forward.
Yeah, fun facts about Rice. He's second behind only Hill in yards after the catch this season. And last week's catch was his first deep ball reception of the season, 20 yards of all year long. But
He's got to add more of that stuff into his game, I think, to be like a top 12 fantasy receiver over the course of the season. But I like Rashee Rice, and I think overall, like he's a guy that you definitely want.
Just the clear number one for Mahomes. He doesn't need to be polished, is all I'm saying. And I mean, Kelsey might retire, and of course, all bets are off.
Kelsey's got to retire, bro. Kelsey's got other stuff he needs to focus on at this point. And I do want to circle back to the DJ Moore thing. I can't say enough about DJ Moore right now. I've been talking about him a ton. I think it's worth talking about him a ton. One thing that we can take away from the DJ Moore season is, and a lot of the reasons people were off of him, and I was one of these, I wasn't drafting a ton of DJ Moore this year. I didn't have him like ranked super low or whatever, but I didn't draft him a lot. It was because of like the run heavy offense concern and obviously the Justin Fields concern, you know, just from a passing perspective. But a couple things have happened here. One, Moore has clearly elevated Fields, which has also elevated Moore, because I mean, like the best quarterback that DJ Moore had ever played with prior to Justin Fields was probably Teddy Bridgewater. And I mean, Baker Mayfield's good now, but he was awful, awful in Carolina. I mean, he was literally the worst starting quarterback in the league in Carolina. It just goes to show you how much situation matters. But also with these run heavy offenses, like these teams that don't throw the ball a lot, targets can really concentrate to just a couple of players. And that has definitely been the case in Chicago this year, where you have a target percentage of DJ Moore and Cole Kmet at 25.8% and 17.1%. Darnell Mooney somehow, I don't even know how he had a 12.3% target share, but then nobody else has more than 7%. in terms of wide receivers and tight ends. You actually kind of, from a fantasy perspective, love an offense like this that's run heavy, that's highly concentrated from a target perspective, if the quarterback is good. The other side of it is the Falcons, right? Where targets are concentrated in Atlanta, but like, we don't care because the quarterback's no good. So it actually ended up being not just a good situation, but a beautiful situation for DJ Moore in fantasy.
Yeah, maybe, you know, may not be able to be duplicated. It was so perfect. But either way, you got to be excited if you're in this, if they just run it back, right? They're bringing back Eberflus. And I don't know. What do you have thoughts? I know you talked a little bit about it, but I'm leaning toward keeping Fields at this point. They're just such unknown, these young quarterbacks, too. Caleb Williams' stock has fallen. And I don't know. I'm kind of in on Fields, actually, surprisingly. I know the sacks are high, and I know the fantasy's life, and it's an interesting, and it's a tough one.
It's not even a Fields thing.
Because his contract is so much more, right? Too. The contract, I mean, it's
not even a Fields thing, because I really like the idea of Fields with, like, the Steelers. Like, I think he could do some similar stuff with George Pickens against man coverage and, like, throwing it up there, man. Or, like, how about the Raiders, right? Like, what could he do with Devontae Adams? There's a lot of really interesting spots for Fields, and I'm not out on Fields at all. I just think that, to be perfectly honest, I think he's shown me a lot this year as Justin Fields. But I do just wonder, from a Bears perspective, when you can reset the quarterback clock and these guys are supposed to be really good prospects, I think it might come down to, like, what can you get for Justin Fields in a trade? Like, if this stuff where you can only get a third-round pick is the case, like, that seems freaking nuts to me, man. Like, Sam Darnold went for a second and a fourth. And I know it's like future years. Let's put, like, what are we talking about here? Like, Justin Fields should definitely net you more than that. I don't know. I do think it matters that, like Andy said on the show, that the teammates really are going to bat for Justin Fields, the whole thing. So I don't know. It's probably one of the most fascinating questions of the offseason. What do the Bears do there?
Yeah, I think that's the right answer. Is depends on the offers, of course. But that team's, you may laugh, but that team's ready to win now. They don't need a developmental quarterback. That defense is
top five
unit right now. They can run the ball, whether it's Herbert or Foreman, whatever. And Moore's enough. And Komet, I mean, that team's actually ready to win now. Next year, I'll be all over them in futures if they keep Fields.
My takeaway from the rest of this receiver list, like, we talked with Andy on the show about Nico and Mike Evans and Michael Pittman and how much, like, situations really can change. We talked about that. But yeah, the real takeaway here is, for me, there's four rookies in this group. Like, continue to draft rookies in your fantasy league. And if and when other people drop them in your league, be smart about picking them up. Like, when that playing time starts to bump up for Rasheed Rice, obviously that was the case. For Jaden Reed, that was the case.
And even Dusty Thielen didn't last. Last long. So yeah, go the young guys. Yeah.
Running backs here. It's a funny list. Running backs that most outkicked their draft position on Yahoo: Ezekiel Elliott, Zach Moss, Chuba Hubbard, Raheem Mostert, Devon Achane, Isaiah Pacheco, Jaylen Warren, Rashad White, Kyron Williams. Kind of same thing as Puka with the ranking perspective there. But anything from, obviously, a lot of these guys are the backups who ended up having moments, like Zeke and Zach Moss and Chuba Hubbard. But anyone stand out here that, like, a big takeaway?
Just that kind of fantasy finishes can seem be kind of a mirage, like Zeke, the RB32. I mean, he wasn't better than a top 18 running back in any week until week 13. He was top 20 once before week 13. So, like, he was not helpful to you whatsoever. And then he had some spike weeks later in the year. So it's just weird. And he was, yes, he was getting volume as a backup before that, but he just, you know, was never a top three. He was just never helping you actually in any given week. So it can be misleading stats when you go back and look at season long for fantasy football specifically, just because these compilers, you know, they're not really helpful.
Okay, finally, tight ends. These are the tight ends that most outkicked their draft position on Yahoo. Trey McBride, 201 spots, man. Crazy stuff. Cole Kmet, 40 spots. Jake Ferguson, 30 spots. Sam Laporta, 5 spots. I mean, he ended up finishing as a tight end one. My takeaway, Dalton, I know we share this one here, is that, like, the youth at the tight end position is back. You were right to point out, like, kind of tepidly put your foot in the water. They're like, hey, this position might be deeper than ever before. I think that was you saying that in the preseason. You're 100% right. I mean, Trey McBride, second year player. Cole Kmet was a fourth year player. Jake Ferguson, second year player. And Sam Laporta, a rookie.
It was only tepidly because it's wrong every year. You can talk yourself into that almost every single year, but it finally came to fruition this year. Amazing that the rookie position was able to do this. McBride is not a rookie, but shout out once again to Sean Siegel, who was on him. And McBride, a former Mackey Award winner, great college resume, you know, Dusty Zach Ertz in front of him. You could have seen this coming, but he wasn't even drafted in most leagues. And now, as I've been arguing, there's an argument for McBride as the top fantasy tight end next year. Certainly will be drafted as a top five at the position. So yeah, that position, it looks as healthier as it has in recent memory. And Bowers entering the league next year too. So, and I'm sure people talk themselves into a healthier Kyle Pitts another year removed from knee surgery.
He's a tight end one. Yeah.
Tight end is as deep as ever, just as the GOAT Kelce exits the scene.
Speaking of tight ends, the players on and Kyle Pitts, the players on the most last place team, highest percentage of last place teams on Yahoo Fantasy: Cooper Kupp, Marquise Brown, T. Higgins, Kyle Pitts, Daniel Jones, Aaron Jones, Garrett Wilson, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith. Man, I want to focus mostly on these second round receivers here. And I know for some of these guys, I mean, Cooper Kupp injury, Marquise Brown injury, T. Higgins injury, but and Aaron Jones even injury here as well. But T. Higgins, grouping him back in here with Garrett Wilson, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith. Okay, Garrett Wilson, obviously we can throw out what happened to him. That was just an unforeseen thing that happened with Rodgers and the injury and everything and the disaster class that team became. But again, I know we had this conversation at some point during the year, but do we need to have a reckoning about some of these number two receivers, whether it's Higgins, whether it's Waddle, whether it's Smith? Like, these guys going ahead, even though the great offensive environments, Philly, great offensive environment, Bengals, great offensive environment, Dolphins, great offensive environment. These guys were going in the second round, maybe early third round. And again, some of the receivers that ended up finishing ahead of them were these number one guys that in offenses that had question marks. I'm talking, the Michael Pittmans. I'm talking the DJ Moore, who we just talked about, Keenan Allen for sure as well, Amari Cooper, right? Like, all these guys were better than these second round receivers that got way steamed up because of a combination of youth, ability, sure, and the offensive environment. So do we kind of need to have a reckoning about the way we view this position?
I think there is a takeaway, and yes is the answer. You need those offenses to be just perfect to produce two top fantasy receivers, and you're banking on that to repeat coming off a year if they're being drafted that way. So yes, I'm skeptical if you're drafting a receiver who's sharing the field with a true alpha like AJ Brown, Tyreek Hill, and Ja'Marr Chase. So I think there is a takeaway here that it's tough to produce, drafting a guy in the second round when he's not the first read is something you should be skeptical about moving forward. And then poor Marquise Brown, I don't know why he's on so last place teams. He didn't cost nearly the draft pick as these other guys did. But I think that's an actual takeaway, is these guys who are not the alphas on their team, maybe they don't deserve to be going in the second round.
Yeah, it's tough. Looking this up on the fly, Devontae Smith, first read target percentage from fantasy points, 25.7%. That's like the same as Jerry Jeudy, 25.8%. And by the way, like, he's actually the one that I think embodies the concerns the most, but give me a second to get back. T. Higgins, 20% first read target share. Jalen Waddle is at a 24.5% target share. Devontae Smith's the highest one. He's 31st in the league, right? Like, yeah. Again, it's great that you're as theoretically as good as a number one receiver is elsewhere. But from a usage standpoint, like, even if the gap is small, and I think in Philly, it's actually the smallest between AJ Brown and Devontae Smith when these guys are all operating at their peaks, there's just a lot of room for error there, man. When your first read target share is down like that, I do think, again, just like Higgins, I know he, again, dealt with injuries, so maybe there's a cop-out here. Obviously, damn, Joe Burrow got hurt. That's a problem. Jalen Waddle also dealt with, like, nagging injuries, even when he was perfectly healthy, though he wasn't productive. But I think Smith really personifies and exemplifies the real concern with this archetype of player, Dalton, because you're so right to say you need things to go so perfectly well, and things did not go well in Philly this year. Like, when that offense gets thrown into chaos, the guy who suffers is the second receiver, not the number one guy in AJ Brown.
conversely, there is upside if those alphas do get injured and then they take over that role. But it's just asking for too much in a round two pick when you could be taking a Keenan Allen, who's just looking at all the targets there, you know, in later. So I think those guys are going to be more third and fourth round picks, and it will be a lesson learned throughout the fantasy community.
Yeah, and I'm skeptical too. I mean, we saw Jaylen Waddle take over a big role when Tyreek Hill goes down, but you know, just you always got to wonder, like, will it look the same? But okay, so with that, let's move to wide receivers who severely underperformed preseason rankings, and we did throw out 4 week or longer injury absence here. So Jefferson, Kupp, Higgins, Aaron Jones, we get to running backs. Those guys, we threw those out here. So we're talking about like perfectly healthy players for the most part. Jaylen Waddle underperformed the most, 63 spots. Then Drake London, Chris Godwin, Tyler Lockett, Chris Olave, Steph Diggs. Yikes. Devontae Adams, Devontae Smith, who we just talked about, Calvin Ridley, and Garrett Wilson. Anyone you want to spotlight or talk about from this list? Some of them we've already hit on.
Yeah, just Drake London would be a fantasy superstar in another situation. So yeah. Curious who plays quarterback, who's coaching there next year. Devontae Adams, we could have seen this coming with the quarterback situation there, but it's not exactly shocking. Calvin Ridley, I fell for the preseason hype, and I just thought he was going to be an alpha with Lawrence turning into a star. Didn't turn out that way at all. And Diggs is just perplexing, and I want to turn the floor to you to try to figure out what's happening here.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw this, but Tim Graham, who covers the team, he's covered the team forever. He actually asked Sean McDermott in a press conference why Stephon Diggs' snaps are down. His snapper, and I was pointing this out on Reception Perception last week, that like if you looked at Diggs' snap counts, the two previous games, even to last week, they were, I mean, normally it's the guy who never leaves the field, right? But the last 3 weeks, 46%, 60%, 65% of the snaps. Like, that is weird. So Tim Graham asked Sean McDermott this in the press conference, and Bill's PR cut the press conference off.
Really?
Yeah. Which, I got a lot of theories on that, but they're all reckless speculation, so I don't know.
Those are the funnest.
Those are the fun ones. But I will just say this about it does make me think about an unreported injury. Honestly, that's the biggest thing to me that I keep coming back to, because if your head coach goes out there and says like, yeah, we're not playing him as much because he's got this injury that they're obviously not putting on the injury report, you're going to get banged for that. Right. And that could, at least to me, lead to a reason why he's not being fully involved in the offense. Or it's not that he's not fully involved, like 8 targets, 7 targets, but they're also just winning football games a little bit differently than they have in the past. So I don't know. There's a lot going on. And then there's obviously just like, is it a personal conflict? Who knows? There's obviously a lot of stuff going on there. But I want to talk about Chris Godwin and Tyler Lockett from this list, because they're two names we haven't mentioned yet. Those two guys stand out to me. I know Baker's had a good season, and Geno's had a fine season too. But there is at least some risk with these guys who are not going to dominate targets. And Chris Godwin has never been a target dominator. Like, he's always ceded that to Mike Evans. And I think there's a reason for that. Mike Evans is at his peak a better football player than Chris Godwin. I love Chris Godwin, so it means something that I'm saying this. And same thing with Tyler Lockett. Like, it was going to be tough to split that receiver room up three ways. And basically anybody who's rostered a Seahawks receiver this year really hasn't been all that happy with it. So that's at least a lesson to me. If the quarterback is not like an A-tier quarterback, I'm going to try to avoid these like very crowded rooms like these two guys were in.
Some of this was a little bad luck for Chris Godwin. I will note, before last week, he had scored 1 touchdown all year, despite seeing the 6th most targets inside the 10. So that's just running cold in the scoring department. And he did score last week. But I think he's playing hobbled too. But those are fair assessments, Harmon. I'm with you there. And yeah, the Lockett one will be interesting to see what happens in the Seattle receivers next year for sure.
Yeah, I don't know if they want to pay Tyler Lockett $26 million at or whatever his cap hit is. They got to do something about that for sure. Okay, running backs here. Again, some repeat names, but this is a ghastly list. Miles Sanders, probably like the healthiest, biggest miss of the year. And I drafted way too much Miles Sanders. I feel like an idiot for this one. I also drafted a decent bit of Damian Pierce. Sanders, by the way, 200 spot difference between his finish and where he was ranked in Yahoo default to start the year. Damian Pierce, 156. I mean, that's pretty brutal. He did miss 3 games for injury, but still, for the most part, was not going to hit his ADP regardless. Alexander Mattison, another one. Austin Eckler, our guy, did miss 3 games for injuries, but 86 spot difference there. Tony Pollard, 54 spot difference. And Bijan Robinson, 39 spot difference because he was going very, very high. So it was tough. I mean, look, if you had Christian McCaffrey, you had Kyren Williams, like Rashad White, Raheem Mostert, you felt good about your running back. Even Travis Etienne at certain times of this year was a little up and down. There are just misses all over the place at running back this year.
Yeah, my guy Pollard was my biggest miss. I guess I underrated the deltoid surgery is what happened here, just because the opportunity remained great. The Cowboys offense was good. The problem was just him executing, and he went from the most efficient back ever to completely inefficient. I know that could be expected with a bigger workload, but come on, the guy just could not score from inside the 1 yard line. Frustrating. And the fact that his broken tackle numbers, a sticky stat, started getting better, you know, week 10, 11, 12, suggests to me maybe he was playing through that injury. And I underrated the fact that surgery was a little bit more serious than I realized.
Yes, I definitely agree that ended up being a bigger thing than most people wanted to admit. Bijan too, like, there's just no such thing as a too big to fail running back. Like, I mean, you get into a rough situation, it can be bad, man. He was the consensus running back 3 off the board. Again, like I said, the 5th overall pick. Man, it got pretty. Got pretty
historically rough. When you're drafted that pedigree, you're just not used that way. Historically, it's never happened. I mean, it's crazy to.
If anybody's going to break history, it's Arthur Smith, who, by the way, has the only tight end here that really, really missed was Kyle Pitts, 58 spots, 121 ranking, 179 finish. Yeah. So, yikes.
Well, there's a theme here. There's Drake London, Kyle Pitts, and Bijan Robinson all appeared there. So, Artie, shout out to for the win.
Arthur Smith and Desmond Ridder. I do think that. I really wonder if they're bringing Arthur Smith back this year, because it does feel to me like, from an organizational standpoint, you got to be pretty like, enough of this crap already. Okay, we drafted these 3 guys in the top 10, and Pitts hasn't been the player that I think people like. That's the thing. Like, Bijan had some rookie hiccups, whatever, but he's still by and large a really good back. Drake London is a beast. Anybody that watches Drake London knows that. I think if you watch Kyle Pitts, especially this year, he still looks like he's not fully back from the knee injury, which was a complicated one. Like, he's a little bit of a different conversation than these guys, but still, if you're Arthur Blank, if you're, you know, the GM, the front office, Terry Fontenot and the boys, like, you got to be kind of like, dude, enough already with this crap. And like, I wonder if that is if it's like a come to Jesus meeting in the offseason, or if it is they move on from Smith. I don't know.
Well, they're one of the most important teams for fantasy in the offseason, what they do. Yeah, I mean, for sure. Pitts is another guy maybe I personally under, not that I was targeting him, but I underrated that the knee surgery, another guy that clearly was not himself because, you know, he was compromised. So that's why I said it's another reason to talk ourselves into next year. We always have an excuse each year. And if he has a new quarterback, new coach, and a healthier knee, you can almost write the hype article itself.
I hope nobody hypes him so that he can just be kind of like free. I still have him on one dynasty team.
Good luck.
Yeah, I know. I still have him on one dynasty team, and I'm with you that I'm hoping like another year removed from injury, we get a real quarterback in here. I don't know. I mean, come on. We don't need all these design plays for Jonnu Smith. Let's wrap up here with a few of like kind of draft spot talks. And this one's difficult, but draft position with the best winning percentage this year was the number 3 pick, easily the best pick this year, followed by number 2, number 5, number 4, number 6, number 1. I think obviously the big reason number 3 is just where McCaffrey went, correct?
Or he went number 2 even. Yeah, so they got Jefferson went number 1 in all leagues, and then McCaffrey went either 2 or 3. So yeah, there you go.
Chase at 2, yeah. I mean, yeah, McCaffrey at 3 was easily the best pick you could have made in the first round this year. So best draft strategy in the first 2 rounds this year. Here's which strategy had the best winning percentage in 2023. The clear winner, by a lot, was running back, wide receiver, the clear winner. I think, again, a lot of this is because you could take Christian McCaffrey at running back 2, or excuse me, you take Christian McCaffrey in the first round. I can't imagine that any of the other first rounds, again, we talk about like Bijan and Austin Eckler, those guys were like ADP droppers, right? Saquon Barkley, in terms of consensus ADP, he missed almost all the year. Excuse me, Nick Chubb, he missed almost all the year. He was the 4th running back, a first round pick ADP. The only other running back with an ADP of in the first round was Saquon Barkley. He was pretty disappointing. So I think a lot of these are Christian McCaffrey teams.
Yes.
And then obviously they probably doubled it back. If you're just looking from an overall ADP standpoint, you probably landed on Amon-Ra St. Brown is what I would imagine.
Yeah, or McCaffrey was so good he didn't even matter. I mean, in full, let's look in full PPR. It's silliness.
Oh, yeah.
391 points, the second most, 268. I mean, that's yeah, yeah. Whoever that McCaffrey's skewing these numbers is my point. What a beastly season, and that's with him even leaving injured in the last one. What a monster, man. That's just a crazy, kind of an epic season. I'd like to see where that stands historically.
It's just funny that, like, if you look at this, yeah, it could be that McCaffrey is skewing it that much, I guess you could still win a championship with Bijan Robinson on your team. But if you just look at, again, our stats that we're working off here, McCaffrey is number one in terms of championship rosters, but then the running back or the wide receivers who were late second round picks, if you took McCaffrey third overall, it's Cooper Kupp, who's among the most last place teams. It's Jalen Waddle, who's among the most last place teams. Devontae Smith, among the most last place teams. Chris Olave is not, but he did underperform his ADP this year. But that's the group. That's so funny that's the group of wide running backs. I feel like most of these people, again, they had to have Amon-Ra fall into the late second, mid second round, and you had to take him.
Yeah, pretty beastly if you had him and CMC. That's quite the start. But yeah, I would like to look back and see how this stacks up this McCaffrey season, because it was, there wasn't any, I guess there were a couple way huge weeks, but it was just getting it done, just scoring one or two times just every single week in and week out.
What was it? His other big season was 2019, right? Was his other, 413 points. In his 2019 season. So that's
that's impressive.
And no other running back that year had more than 300. Aaron Jones was 290, was the running back two that year. Raheem Mostert, 255. Yeah, I mean, the 100 points more than the replacement is pretty insane. But I mean, it's crazy that he's done it two times in his career.
I know, it really is a wild. Hope that calf's okay, man. Come on, let's get that calf okay. Yeah.
All right. Just rounding it up here in order, in terms of the best to worst, combination you could have done in the first two rounds. Number two is wide receiver. That was also pretty close with wide receiver running back. It definitely paid to take a receiver in the first round this year. Again, to revisit the consensus ADP. Sure, Justin Jefferson was hurt, Ja'Marr Chase hurt, but you could also had Tyreek Hill. You could also had AJ Brown. Even CeeDee Lamb finished technically with a consensus ADP of 1.112. So those guys probably go down as first round picks. Then there's a big gap down to running back at four. Five is running back quarterback. Six is wide receiver quarterback. I think imagine you just ended up on the wrong running back or the wrong receiver, because it sure would have been great if you had McCaffrey and then Josh Allen or Jalen Hurts. And then the biggest gap that we have here in terms of the strategy, the seventh and eighth teams are tight end wide receiver and tight end running back, which essentially tells you that taking Travis Kelce in the first round this year was a horrendous idea.
Yeah, was he? Let's see his points. Yeah, I guess it's fallen off. So someone noted, everyone has him too. We posted a video of me talking trash about him. Everyone just agreed. Oh, he killed my season. And this is evidence that it was, because you look at his PPR scoring for a while there, he was still averaging 17 points, but it is all the way down to 14 here. He really fizzled.
We played half PPR, God's game.
Yes, I know. Okay. All right. Okay. You're right. That's way worse. And he's down at the end, 5.3, 6.9, 3.1, the final three games in the fantasy playoffs, just absolutely brutal. He wasn't having a total fantasy bust season until the end, and then it just really, really got bad. So yeah, I avoided a 34-year-old tight end. It's at early round two, but the year before he smashed, So I mean, my theory is always a year too soon than a year too late, and it was I was in between there. I dealt with him killing me last year, and then this year he ended up being the killer. But that's pretty evidence there, no question, that if the two worst strategies were tight end wide receiver than tight end running back, Kelce's your culprit.
It's his worst season from a fantasy perspective, 172.9 points in half PPR since his big, when he started his career in 14 and 15. In 2016, he had 180.5 points, 11.3 points per game. So just actually from a points per game perspective, a little bit worse there. But yeah, I mean, we're not close. Before this, the last 3 years, 260, 216, 261.3. He was on a hell of a run there. And look, I think, there's been injuries to start the year. There was, kind of this slow slump. Yeah, I mean, the final numbers don't look that bad, but there's a huge difference between 261 and 172. Oh, yeah. And I think he not only suffered from, you know, being a little older and, you know, maybe being focused on his off-field life, which you got every right to do, by the way. I'm not complaining. Do what you want. Do what you want, Travis Kelce. But I also think, like, he's suffering from the same thing that Steph Diggs is suffering right now, that, like, yeah, they have other options. Like, they have the run game with Pacheco. They have Rashee Rice in Buffalo. They have the run game with James Cook. They've got some other pass catches they can throw you. Defenses still have not adjusted to that. They do not care. Like, I'm telling you, you watch a Chiefs game, you think they're game planning for Rashee Rice? I don't know what film you're watching. Like, it's still our job is take away Travis Kelce, and that is working. It's very similar, I think, to the Diggs situation.
Kelce did finish as the number two fantasy tight end despite missing week one, and it's possible that the injury was as much of a contribution as his age, because it looked like, whoa, season's over when it happened, and it probably sapped some explosiveness that he was already going to lose at this stage of his career. But it will be interesting to see if he does return or if he does retire after this performance. But just historically, players that age at that position, this is what happens. And sometimes the decline is steep. And next year, if he does return, he's certainly not going to be a top three round fantasy pick.
And he could be like a fourth round pick and have 900 yards and
12 touchdowns. He could do that. 12,
well, yeah, but even if he just has
a ton to short ones, I could see it.
100%. And even if he has this season, 980 yards and 5 touchdowns as a fourth round pick, that's the thing, is it's just the opportunity cost and expectations. I think that's why we're talking about Travis Kelce in this way, is because he was a first round pick from an ADP perspective, 1.06. And clearly it was the worst thing that you could have done in the first round this year, which is saying something from a positional standpoint, because there was still plenty of busts at the running back position and some wide receivers that didn't necessarily.
And it probably doubly hurt that all these other tight ends emerge, you know, so you're getting the theory was you're getting a really strong hold of the position, and the fact that it was twofold bad for you if you went that route.
Well, we always get a stronghold on good takes when Dalton Del Don is on the podcast. So Dalton, this was a hell of a little way to end Stat Nerd Thursday for the 2023 season. And I don't know, this was fun. I'm always like, how interesting is the game data going to be? I was really fascinated by this, and I think we ended up putting together a pretty good show, buddy.
Yeah, man. Good times as always, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. I'm glad you're back home at home base and ready to rock with the 49ers in the postseason. We will get Dalton back on the show next week. Again, we go to two shows a week starting next week. He's going to be on the preview show, not talking about his Niners because they got the first round bye, but we do still have to get through week 18 first. We got a great show coming up tomorrow. Man, it's going to be crazy week 18. Jorge Martin joins us for the viewer's guide for week 18. We have some wild games, wild quarterback matchups. We reorganized Binge Stream Skip, so you can't miss this one. It's going to be a pretty fun show. Until then, we're out.